T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Tuesday evening, the second of our shows. You know how we do it, a two for Tuesday. Got you earlier at the very start of the day. We get you here as we're headed toward the end of the day. Hanging out with you for the full four. Asking you to download the Radio.com app because, well, we know you're not in your vehicle as much as what you used to be, but you want to listen to the station and this particular show, how do I do it? Simple. Radio.com app. Put that on your device today. Take that smartphone. Take those Alexa speakers. Take that tablet. Take that Walkman. Take that Commodore 64, your Texas Instruments calculator, Sega Genesis. I don't know what your device is. Just download it onto something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all the platforms there. It's always the best way to be a part of the show. Hit me up through my personal Twitter page. It's at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Jarvis has the week off, holiday week. This will be my last show until Friday, so a couple of nights off here with you. So Dylan hanging out in studio down in Midtown. So lots to get into with you here tonight. We are waiting for the first college football playoff poll. It is a ranking Tuesday, and not just because we got it is our rank'em that we do later on, but the college football playoff committee will release its first poll of the season. And so far, you know, it's just I'm with the committee. Keep everything moving, keep it going. Don't change, don't push things back. Just keep doing what you have to do. I would imagine, you know, Alabama should be one. You know, the top four would be Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Ohio State. I can't imagine Bama's not number one. How you shake out the next three may be kind of interesting, but still lots of football to play. And then from there, let's see what happens. And we will kind of react to it a little bit later on in our college football roundup, but we'll keep you up to date with what is going on. Because I'm curious to see, you know, Florida and A&M should be 5 and 6. Does the committee say A&M beat Florida, they go to 5? Or do they say, thus far, we think that Florida is the better team, and they go to 5? I don't know. I would think that Cincinnati is going to be 7, probably BYU 8. I would think that Cincinnati and BYU should probably be right next to each other, 7 and 8 is what I'm guessing. But we will see. We'll see what the committee does. And we'll see what the committee thinks about Clemson's one loss at Notre Dame with their backup quarterback. How much does that weigh in? Do they go ahead of Ohio State? How much does the committee look at saying, okay, Ohio State did not play well last week and just squeaked by a really good Indiana team. Even though they're undefeated, they haven't played as many games. You know, do they sit at four? I don't know. I mean, that I think 2, 3, 4 is interesting just to see the order. But, of course, we have lots of football, you know, and I know it sounds kind of crazy, but still enough football to be played that some things can happen. So, and I don't think Cincinnati and BYU at this point really have much of a pathway to get into the playoff. Now, BYU will play in the Fiesta Bowl. Cincinnati will probably play in the Peach Bowl, assuming that they win, assuming that they're the highest-ranked Group of Five team. They'll get that automatic bid. My guess is, and after getting by UCF, I think that they will be the Group of Five team that is represented this year. I do think that they will. I do think that they will be here in the Peach Bowl. So just for craps and giggles, Tulsa's at 25, Iowa at 24, Oklahoma State at 23, Auburn at 22, Marshall at 21. Who, by the way, is 7-0 themselves. We'll keep you up to date on everything going on there. Braves make a move, and I really like this move. This is one of the guys we kind of talked about and threw his name out there. Former Atlanta Brave, although it was only for 1 year, but did come through the organization. Charlie Morton, a one-year, $15 million deal. As of right now, it is the highest contract given out in free agency. So Charlie Morton, who was just with the Tampa Bay Rays, obviously in the World Series, comes back to Atlanta after a long career in Pittsburgh and in Houston and in Tampa, and now comes to a Braves team that is ready to win. I really like this move. I like this move a lot. Now, there are a couple of different ways to start thinking about this, okay? You could say to yourself, okay, because, look, there's no other talk other than winning the World Series, okay? Now, I know, let me go ahead and preface, because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, because we still got the we like our division banners and manager of the year, and we really can't go for it, and we have to protect prospect. I understand that there's still factions of fans out there that aren't willing to put their poker chips in on the table, and they're going to sit over on the video slot machine and play penny nickel video slots. I got it. For the rest of us that are at the poker table and have the stack of chips shoved in the middle, okay, I'm kind of talking to you in this. So you could look at it two ways. You've got $26 million invested. By the way, Oklahoma at 11, Indiana 12, BYU is 14th. Wow. That surprises me that BYU is as low as what they are. Oregon at 15, BYU at 14. Oklahoma right now sits at number 11, the top 10 coming up here pretty quickly. But can look at it one of two ways. Would you have rather had, let's say, 1 year of Trevor Bauer for $30, $32 million, or are you good with Smiley and Morton for $26 million? Now, Charlie Morton, kind of a mixed season, okay? 2-2, 4.74 ERA, got better as the year went along, was really good in the playoffs. I'll talk about that in just a second. But if Charlie Morton can get back to what he was in the last two years in 18 and 19, 31-9. Georgia, by the way, comes in at number 9. So Miami is 10, Georgia's 9, as they're kind of going one by one now through this. We'll keep you updated on all of it. But the last 2 years, 3.05 ERA in 19, 3.13 ERA in 2018. In 2018, 167 innings with 201 strikeouts. Okay? 2019, 194 and two-thirds innings with 240 strikeouts. Okay? So he's a guy that's getting a lot of swings and misses and a lot of outs with contact. Keeping you up to date, Northwestern at number 8. So Miami 10, Georgia 9, Northwestern 8 right now. That's what we have so far as the top 10 being revealed. So here's a guy that has 441 strikeouts. Now, here's the other thing that I really like. Okay? Playoff record for his career, 7-3 with a 3.38 ERA, 61 in the third, 67 strikeouts. So we're talking about 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. So again, here's a guy getting me lots of outs with no contact. I really like this move. For $15 million, this ain't Cole Hamels. This ain't Cincinnati comes in at 7. I thought they'd be 6. They're 7. I think BYU's too low myself, but anyway. I like this for a year at $15 million. I didn't like the Cole Hamels thing at all. I didn't like anything about it. I like this. Can Charlie Morton get back? Look, 36 years old. I understand. But you're not asking a lot of Charlie Morton. By the way, you're talking about a guy who could really be a factor for you, and he's a third or fourth starter for you. I think realistically you put him as your number 3 starter right now. I know they got Ian Anderson, but I probably look at Charlie Morton as my number 3 starter right now. So I really like this move. Now, would I like 1 year of Bauer for $30, $32 million versus Smiley and Morton for $26 million? Probably. I probably would lean a little bit more toward that, but I really like the Charlie Morton move. He's one of the guys we, you know, kind of mentioned. There's a whole group of guys. Look, this is pretty much it for their rotation. So this is you can stick, and we're going to talk about that coming up in the next segment. Very quickly though, I want you to hear from Double A as he talks about the signing of these two pitchers.
It was something we definitely wanted to address, but like I mentioned earlier with the Smiley signing, we had an extremely short list of guys we would consider, basically 2 to 3, and obviously we got 2. So these were the 2 guys that were at the top of our list. With Charlie and Drew, and we're really glad that we're able to get both guys.
So, first of all, that tells you that they were never in the Trevor Bauer sweepstakes. By the way, Florida 6, A&M 5. So, that's right. They got that right. It should be A&M beat them head-to-head, so that should be where they stand on that. So, I got no problem with that. A&M 5, Florida 6. So, look, it tells you, number one, that they were never going to be in the Trevor Bauer sweepstakes, which doesn't surprise me, because, I mean, that would mean going for it and rolling the dice and spending money and, you know, acting like we really, really want to win the World Series and, you know, we feel like we're one dominant. So I understand, okay? But now you've got Smiley, Morton, Freed, Soroka, Anderson. And so coming up next with that, does that mean the Braves are saying pitching prospects are a thing of the past? We'll discuss that next. Chuckery Show. We'll get you up to date on the top 5 as well, or top 4, excuse me, Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the radio.com app.
Talking local sports.
Late at night.
It's the John Chuckery Show.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you on the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out on this Ranking Tuesday evening, 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, open and ready for business. Got a comment, leave it there. Radio.com app is how you catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. Hit me up at JMCH316. All right, so we got our college football poll in. We told you the 5 through 10. So no real surprise at the top. Bama 1, Notre Dame 2, Clemson 3, Ohio State 4. And I'm sure people say, well, Ohio State's undefeated. Well, I think Ohio State's 4 because just the body of work. They've only got 4 games played. Now, I don't understand how Wisconsin is 16th at 2-1 and BYU's only 14th at 8-0. I will tell you, BYU would beat Wisconsin if they played them head-to-head. But anyway, and yes, I said that. BYU has an NFL quarterback that teams are going to be looking very hard at, by the way. But anyway, So no real surprise at the top of the no real surprise at the top of the poll out there. That's the four playoff teams. I think A&M is setting itself up for a potential Sugar Bowl. If you assume Florida loses in the SEC championship game to Alabama, I think A&M is going to sit right there at five, and they'll be in the Sugar Bowl, which probably opens up Georgia to get into the Peach Bowl because they'll probably be ranked ahead of Florida. I understand Florida beat them head to head, but my guess is that they will be ahead of Florida. But I can't speak for the committee on all of that. So, there's not a whole lot to say about the poll. I mean, it's pretty much the top seven teams at least are exactly what I thought they would be, with the top four, then A&M, Florida, and then Cincinnati at number seven. So there you go. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show as well. You can leave us a thought on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. So with the signing, as we were talking about, of Charlie Morton, and with the signing of Drew Smiley, does it kind of signal an end of an era, at least for this year? And I say this in a good way. Now that you have those two guys in the mix, which you've signed those guys to be starters, and obviously we know, you probably saw the video yesterday, Mike Soroka already throwing on flat ground. So I have no issues or concerns about him coming back. Even if he's a month behind or something, I'm not concerned. If we're Thanksgiving and he's doing some throwing and stuff and he can plant, come February, I think we're good to go. So, but again, even if you tell me it's a month later, fine, no problem. But he's in the rotation. So obviously, Freed will be the number one starter. If Soroka's healthy, I think you give him the ball at number two, Morton at three, probably Ian Anderson four, and Drew Smiley as your five. Now, what does that mean? Well, I think the biggest thing that it signals is the fact that we're now past the stage of pitching prospects and upside and things like that. I think at this point we can look at the Braves and say, okay, here's the guys that we trust that are the young guys. Here's the guys that we don't. And now it's a question of where does everybody else fit into the mix? At the same time, what I really hope for is, will this open up the idea of moving some of your prospects that at least have some upside? Because here's the reality. At this point, I don't know that there's any upside in what you could get for Touki Toussaint. There's no upside in anything you could get for Sean Newcomb. So you don't have as many guys as what you'd hoped for, but still, if we're talking about potentially Waters, who's an outfielder, I understand, not a pitcher, but a Bryce Wilson, now is the time where you package your minor leaguers that if you want to go get that guy, if you can't, let's say, get Ozuna to come back and be a part of this team, or they don't want to pay the money for it, then maybe you have to start thinking about opening up the trade. This is the time. Because I think you've drawn a line in the sand right now and say, okay, here's our rotation. These three guys, Freed, Soroka, and Anderson, are the guys we trust. Here's the two veterans that we mix in. Now everybody else is fighting for a bullpen spot. Now everybody else has to figure what their role is. And what will be very interesting is, what do the Braves do? We know Josh Tomlin back in the mix, so he's good to go. Will Smith will obviously be here. I think Chris Martin has one more year, so I think he's here as well. Shane Green, I think, is a free agent right now. Melanson is obviously a free agent. If they decide to bring one or both of those guys back, and I would be fine with bringing back Green, I'd be fine with bringing back Melanson. Melanson's not coming back on an $11 or $12 or $13 million contract like he just had. He's going to have to take a pay cut. I mean, he did some nice things as a closer for him, but still, I'm not paying, with all due respect, I'm not paying him $12 or $13 million to be my closer. That's just me. I'll give the ball to Will Smith or somebody like that before I'll pay Melanson $12 or $13 million to come be the closer. But if they sign one or both of those guys out there, now you're really scrambling, you know, if you're one of the young guys as to where your spot is. Now you're really scrambling to find out, okay, where am I going to fit into this mix? Because A.J. Minter will be here, and I'm good with that. Josh Tomlin's going to be here. So how many spots, you know, are left? And this is why it makes it even more to where, you know, if Bryce Wilson has value, move him if you need to. Now, I'm not saying trade these guys just for the sake of trading. I'm saying that if there's a guy that you identify that let's just for craps and giggles, okay, humor me. Again, I'm right now I'm not speaking to the we love our division banners and we had 20. Basically, the TV sports guys, the people that kind of follow and hang around that, we're not talking about, you know, the crowd of, hey, look, they had a lot of 23-year-olds, and, hey, they were missing this, and, hey, we had, you know, a division, and, hey, we had – I'm talking about the roll the dice, poker chips on the table, we're in the business of winning the World Series, or anything short of winning the World Series is a disappointment. I know – okay, again, go over with the TV sports guys. If you're one of the, well, you got to get there first, then you need to go hang out with the TV sports guys. You're not invited into our club. Okay? You have to wear, to get into our club, you got to wear the tux. You got to have the membership. You got to have the dues paid. Okay? To get into the, you know, this is the scene from Casino Royale. You want to be a part of it? You got to have the buy-in and wear the tux, and then we'll let you in. You come through the metal detector, then we'll let you in. Otherwise, you got to hang out with the commoners, and you know you can play video poker and nickel, penny, dime slot machines and stuff. Okay, I'm talking about the poker chips in. Let's just for craps and giggles say you really wanted Nolan Arenado, and you want to make a move. Okay. Now you take the Bryce Waters Bryce Wilson and the Drew Waters, and hell, even if it means Austin Riley as well, you go out there and make this kind of move. So I like the fact, too, that besides getting a good veteran like Morton, who can get outs without contact, doesn't have to be a number one starter, really good in the playoffs for his career. And not 20 years ago, by the way. Not, he was a World Series MVP in the Reagan administration, okay? Not one of those kinds of deals. He's been good in the playoffs over the last few years. This season, I guess, if you will, was good as well. So, but nonetheless, if you're in that business. But I like the idea. I think the side message is, okay, we know who we trust. We know who we're going to move forward with. Because there's no question that Fried, Sorokin, and Anderson are three of your starters. Now, Smiley could be a wild card. He has pitched in relief and things like that. But I can't imagine that you're telling me that you pay $11 million for a long reliever. I would certainly hope that that's not what the Braves intended for Drew Smiley to be, because they love his upside, they love his metrics, they love his analytics and his geekdom and all these kinds of things. So if you're paying $11 million, then he's one of your starting pitchers. He's one of your starters. You're not bringing an $11 million guy onto this roster to be a long reliever. That's what you have minor leaguers and things like that for, or the Josh Tomlins of the world, you know, for a million or $2 out of all of it. So it sets the rotation, but I think that more of the message is, okay, the era of let's keep trotting young guys. Here's Tehran, here's Fulte, here's Newcomb, here's Tukey, here's Wilson, here's this guy, here's that guy. I think that era is over, at least. Which may mean, listen, that's probably good news for the environment, because it probably means that less bus trips burning fuel from the Partridge Family shuttle bus from Buford to Smyrna and back. So the environment also is a winner in all this because less fossil fuel being burned on all these bus trips of this guy up, this guy down, this guy up. Because there really won't be a whole lot of spots that you have to figure out. You know, if Minter's part of it, Tomlin is part of it, Will Smith is part of it. You know, you don't have very many spots that you have to start figuring out, which is a good thing. Which, frankly, if you're talking about a team that's ready to win the World Series, you shouldn't really have many things that you have to figure out anyway. So I think it also is just, you know, besides, like I said, having two veteran starters, I think now you see that message being sent of, okay, the era of going with prospects and looking for upside of them and this, that, and the other. What does that mean for Tuki Toussaint and you know, Sean Newcomb? It means you better either figure it out or it's time to move on. And if you told me that the Braves cut bait with some of those guys, not an issue. I don't know that there's anything you get for any of those guys. Because the first thing people say is, well, trade Ender and trade Tukey and all that. What are you going to get? Fish and chips? Because that's what you're going to get. You're not even going to get salmon or mahi-mahi. You're going to get cod and chips is all you're going to get for it. Deep-fried cod and chips, which I love, but that's all you're going to get. You're never going to get the top. You're not even going to get flounder or snapper or salmon or even a tuna steak. You're not going to get nothing for those guys. If you're trading those guys, it's just for the sake of trading them. Now, maybe one of those guys can work themselves into a middle relief spot. Sean Newcomb a couple of years ago was a real asset in the bullpen. You know, he did some good things for this franchise. But his days of being a starter, sorry, are over. I don't need to see anymore. I don't care if he's only made 20 starts or I don't even know what the number is. But I don't care. I don't need to see anything else. I'm not right now. This organization and this franchise is not in the business of trying guys out. Tryouts were the last few years when it was rebuild time and all that kind of stuff. Okay? Tryouts were then. Now it's, okay, hammer down and let's go get this thing. So Tukey, Newcomb, those guys want a spot. All right, maybe they can find a way in there. Because Minter's one of your left-handers. You know, they didn't pick up an option on Grant Drayton, which is fine. That's you know, no real loss there. You got Will Smith as another left-hander in your bullpen as well, who could be your closer. You know, if they don't end up signing to Melanson, nothing wrong with having Will Smith as your closer. He was an all-star 2 years ago. Was perfect in the first half of the season for the San Francisco Giants. So I think this sends a lot of different messages with these two signings and where this team is. Now you got your pitching figured out. Now the big thing is, what are you going to do for that bat? What are you going to do for that guy to hit right in the middle to protect Freddie and everybody in the middle of that bat? So should be fun. Still plenty of moves to be had out there. All right, when we come back, I've kind of come to an epiphany that I'm ready to accept. The problem is going to be, it's to make it happen is going to be nearly impossible. I'll explain what all that means next. It is the John Chuckwood Show, hanging out with you here on this College Football Playoff Ranking Tuesday. Sports Radio, Nets on the Game, and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuckwood Show. Hanging out here is watch the College Football Playoff Rankings on this Tuesday evening. 404-741-0929. That, of course, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Social media at 929 The Game. Radio.com app is how you catch us on the go. Hit me up at JMCH316. So, I kind of came to an epiphany, I guess, of sorts, if you will. But, you know, I would very much be in favor at this point of, in the offseason as a new general manager and a new head coach come into the Atlanta Falcons. And certainly plenty of questions about what they're going to have to do with their roster and trying to figure out, certainly from a money aspect, about what they can and cannot do. Now, we say all the time that if you want to find money in the NFL, you can find money. You can renegotiate contracts and do different things, and you can get all kinds of crazy stuff going on and make money happen if you really want to for it. So I'm not so much worried about, you know, the additions and things like that, about trying to add pieces. But I think I'm at the point where I think the Falcons should explore very hard the idea of trading Julio Jones in the offseason. Julio's still a top-flight player when he's on the field. And certainly that is always a question with Julio Jones of late, is how much and how often can he be on the field to help this team out. When he's on the field, there's no question that the offense looks and feels and plays much different than when he's off. And the numbers say it, too. I know the Falcoholic did some breakdown on some numbers and things, you know, for it. So no doubt that he's still a vital piece. And look, you could still make an argument that when he is on the field that he's still the best wide receiver in the NFL, okay? So no real issues or qualms about his play per se. But I think the Falcons are at a point where the investment in Julio and right now what it means to their team, I think they are better to try to find ways to spend that money in other areas. Now, that brings to question the fact of the impossible reason why it is to trade Julio Jones. So next year, for 2021, Julio Jones, who, by the way, has the largest cap hit of any wide receiver in the NFL. His cap hit this year is almost $20.5 million. He has the largest cap hit in the NFL, the wide receiver position. Well, that number doesn't get any smaller next year. That number actually goes up to just slightly over $23 million on the cap. That also makes him the highest cap hit of any wide receiver in the NFL. Now, in 2022, it gets, I guess, a little bit better. It goes down to $19.3 million, which as of right now, barring any other big contract signed or anything like that for wide receivers, would put him as the number five cap hit in the NFL as far as wide receivers go. And then after that, you're talking about you can get out of the contract because you'd only have one more year at that point. You almost, if you're going to trade for him, you have to play with him for 2 years because the dead money and everything else that goes along with it would be too much, especially if you're going to trade for him. Now, you can forget the idea of cutting Julio Jones. He's got $38.5 million of dead cap money next year. So that would be the dumbest thing that the Falcons could do, would be to absorb that much dead cap space. Hell, that's like having another franchise quarterback on your roster at that point. I mean, it's not doable from that standpoint. And I saw, who was it today? One of the NFL guys was talking about the idea of Carson Wentz, about, you know, Philadelphia wants, you know, fans want Hurts to play and get rid of Wentz and all that. You can't just let a guy go and you know, there's no financial ramifications that go along with it in the NFL. You know, you have caps and you have dead cap money and dead cap numbers that you're responsible for. There's only so much dead cap money you want to eat. You're not trying to eat $40 million of dead cap money. You can't spread out dead cap money over a decade. You can get a couple of years out of it. So it would make no sense to try to cut or anything because there's no savings whatsoever on it. But that's the problem with trying to trade for somebody like Julio, is the fact that he's the number one cap hit in the NFL at his position next year and the number five cap hit at his position the following year. It makes it really tough to do. But I think it's something that is worth pursuing, at least. If somebody feels like they are one skill player away from winning the Super Bowl, then it's a move that maybe somebody would make. But I just think, unfortunately, that the dollar amount that you have on his particular contract makes it really difficult to consider trying to move on from him. which means that if you are going to have Julio Jones for the next year or two out there, then you better do everything you can to surround this group with players to win. If you're going to have the wide receiver that has the largest cap hit, you know, this year, next year, and then the fifth highest cap hit, and you're going to keep him on your roster, then you better have everything around him to make sure that they can win. Because there's no reason to have the top wide receiver in the NFL on a team that is not ready to win. That makes no sense whatsoever. And that's where the challenge in everything that the general manager and head coach, not so much the head coach, obviously, but certainly more the general manager, the idea of how do you balance and navigate your way through all of that? How do you balance and navigate your way through the idea of having some of these big cap hit numbers? And look, all teams go through this. This is not unique to the Atlanta Falcons. But at that position, and especially when you feel like you have some other options that are available to you, right? I mean, obviously, Calvin Ridley is a guy who looks like a number one wide receiver. Certainly, Russell Gage is a guy who has stepped up his game this year. You got to give him credit. I give him credit for how much he has kind of stepped up his game this year and become a better wide receiver for this team. And you could certainly go draft a wide receiver if you needed to. You could certainly take one of your picks and go draft it, because it wouldn't be as high a priority. Or you could sign a lesser, you know, you could sign certainly somebody who, you know, is a lower tier free agent. You know, let me put it to you this way. Even if you sign a guy for half the amount of money, you could get a top flight type of wide receiver. If you're talking about an $11 or $12 million wide receiver, that's still a really good player. And that doesn't even have to be a number one, because like I said, you've got a Calvin Ridley who you can make a case as a number one wide receiver. And certainly by next year, you feel like that he could. So I am on board now with the idea of, if you can find a suitor for Julio, then I probably move on. Matt, I think, you know, and that's going to be the first thing everybody brings up is, what about Matt Ryan? It's a lot harder to find a quarterback who can win you games in the NFL than it is a wide receiver who can help your offense. It's a lot easier to try to find a wide receiver to come into the league and do some things. Hell, you've seen the DK Metcalfs and things like that of the world who can come in and really make a difference, you know, in a game without being a top five pick in the NFL for it. So, you know, having that quarterback and still trying to get it done. Because, look, they are going to be saddled with Matt for sure. You're not going to, you know, and you're not moving on from Matt just yet. And I don't even think a new GM is going to come in here and say move on from Matt like that either. So, again, putting a team together of them to be able to win with it, to be able to win for all of it. We'll see. I'm open, though. I haven't been as open to the idea of moving on from Matt and Julio just yet, because I still feel like that there is a window to try to win and try to get to the Super Bowl. And there's no doubt about it that Julio is a huge difference maker when he's on the field. But, you know, even injuries aside, you know, one of the things is you look at his snap counts at times, and it's really kind of maddening as to why he's not on the field more. I'm not talking about when, you know, his injuries and things like that. I'm talking about even when he's out there playing, why his snap count is as low as what it is. I mean, he'll have the second or third, you know, fewest snaps at the wide receiver position. And there's times when you see him on third down and things like that he's not out there on the field. It's maddening. It's maddening. I mean, if you're going to have a guy that's a $20 million wide receiver, I need him to be out there the vast majority of the plays. I understand he's not going to be out there every single snap. I'm not asking that. But you're talking about a guy who at times is only, you know, two out of three out of four plays. Sometimes two out of three. He's had some games where he's been under 70% snap count in a game. Can't have that. You can't have that big of a weapon and that dynamic of a weapon and not have him on the field. You can argue about, you know, in the red zone and do we throw it enough to him and this, that, and the other. That's a separate discussion. I'm talking about just play in, play out, the number of snaps that he's seeing on the field. And when you've got a guy like that that's only on the field for, say, even 70 or 75% of the snaps, that's not enough. That's not enough. And I don't know if that's a coaching thing. I don't know if that's a Julio thing. But at least it should be worth looking at and pursuing. Now, I have no idea who, you know, with all due respect, I have no idea. I'm not a GM in the NFL. They don't. If I got paid millions of dollars to be a GM in the NFL, I'd tell you who some of the suitors are and things like that. But I have no idea who you're looking at when you say, okay, who's somebody that the Falcons could trade him to? I don't know, because you're going to have a crap ton of cap room. You know, you're going to have like the Browns had a few years ago. Remember, you know, some of these teams, you know, had, you know, 50, 60, you know, million dollars, you know, $70 million of cap space. You know, a team like the Raiders or a team like the Browns from a few years ago that had a whole crap ton of cap space, because you're going to need a whole crap ton of cap space to bring Julio in. Because most likely if you trade to bring him in, whatever team you are, you probably are going to have to live with him for 2 years, good, bad, or otherwise, and you hope for the best that he stays healthy and things like that. So I'm open. If the Falcons are going to keep him, you know, if he is going to be Atlanta Falcon, which, again, I'm not opposed to that either, but you have to make sure that you've got a roster that is absolutely positively ready to win now. Having Julio Jones here and paying that kind of money without being a Super Bowl caliber team and roster is pointless. That will set the franchise back even more than, you know, eating dead money and things like that. Having a high priced guy eat up a roster space and just you can't do anything with it out there. So it's going to be an interesting offseason. I mean, so I say, frankly, I mean, the season can't get over fast enough as far as the Falcons go. I'm as ready for the Falcons to be done and over with this season, because I'm more interested at this point in, tell me who the GM, tell me who the coach, who are we looking at, where are we going in the draft, where are we going in free agency. That is way more interesting than what these last, whatever it is, six games are left for the regular season. All right, we get back from the top of the hour. Lots of moves for the Atlanta Hawks. How much better are they going into this season? And we're still waiting for one more decision to be made in all this. Chuck Show, hanging out with you here on Tuesday evening. Sports Radio 910 The Game on the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.